Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Finding bits of bone in this faraway land. You're back again, barefoot in seaweed sand. You were a very shy man. You had very strong.
Wow, man. God, what can you say about that song and that voice? It just, wow, it just kills me. I mean, just like, wow. It's, you know, some music you can sit there and listen over and over and over, and that is just one of the, that's one of the songs that you, in her voice, man, just gets to me. It's amazing. And of course, I'm speaking about Angie Madsen, and that was her song "Inviolate." And by the way, I'm going to be having her. I'm honored to have her on my show on November 13th. Of course, at Angie Madsen. And like I said, I'm going to play a closing song of her, which is "The Drive," which is you can always check out also on her directly to her website, which is Angie Madsen. That's A-N-G-I-E, of course, and Madsen, M-A-T-T-S-O-N.com. And, man, you know what? Just download some of the tunes on your iPod or your computer, and, you know, I'm telling you, you just listen to it, and just hear samples, and you'll just go nuts. You'll just go, God, you can just hear this, all her music over and over and over again. You know, it's quite in-depth. And, of course, I'm Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank you all for listening. Of course, my producer for producing my show here, or I don't even think it's my show. I feel it's like a show for, I'm just a vehicle here, so to speak. And I want to thank all those who have came out to my many events. That was kind, and it was quite fascinating meeting new people. That's why I love going to book signing events. I know everybody, every time I was bumping into, they keep on asking me, where's the spirit? When's your next book? We want it. And so they're all enticed because it deals with out-of-body stuff. And that will be released in January, February 2010. That's our point date. So I'm looking forward to get that out. And I have several other projects in the works as well. So it's going to be pretty, I look forward to this year. Of course, I look forward to everything. You know, you got to have that thing where most people are chasing rabbits as happiness. So you just got to live at the moment and take it for what it is. And anyway, I would like to, again, thank you all for listening. And, of course, please do check in any out of my past shows or past guest interviews. And you can always email me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. If you've got questions, responses, answers, whatever, send it on over. And I will, with diligence, contact you back and send my reply. And, of course, you can always contact me if you have a MySpace account at myspace.com/... Andrew. I was watching my ledge and looking literally like, this is so bizarre, not even maybe a foot and a half away from a squirrel. And they're sitting there, the squirrel's dancing back and forth, and my cat is just sitting there watching it and not even attacking or nothing. It's quite strange. I mean, it's like, you know, the predator and the prey are sitting with each other, and they're actually made peace. It's sort of like Eden-like, you know, Garden Eden-like. But I want to get into a thing right now because I'm transforming here, or transposing. I'm about to go and encumber on an adventure, or I call a journey. Of course, we're always within our own journey, with our own path of our life at the present. Whatever we do, we make choices, and therefore it's our journey. And with every journey begins a step. So as I begin my journey, I will simply utter, see the B Ed Yud Hilji G D Izanai Ticha D is Anna Ya Ed Yud A Laza B Ed Yud Hilaji is Un Nasi Shi Uut Yoloson Anai Yai Yak Dila Dela Godeya K E Ze Talit Tadizalil Sadiil Yui Jusilaim Tu Ek Tu Yosihi Veet Owati. I dance inside a circle of men and women, they say. Long life inside a circle is made, they say. Inside our circle dances the great spirit amongst us, they say. Having to prepare, he walks. Friends, they say. He walks back to Jerusalem were the first tribe called home. And by the way, that was a very ancient or very old Apache prayer. Hint, hint. But as I look upon our earth, or look upon earth, from a simple distance in the perspective from afar, one's visual would be one. One earth in relation to earth. It's simply part of a greater solar system, a greater galaxy amongst the infinite universe, and yet again from the casual eye, an observer from afar would diligently come to the conclusion of one earth and one humanity. And yet in the reality, the truth is humanity is just a matrix of leaves on the tree of life, all connected with the different views of the universe. And yet still many of these leaves assume their view is the only one, when again, in reality, it isn't. This also comes to the consistency of all souls within humanity, which in reality are connected to each other, as well as the universe as a whole. Hence there is one, connected, the one earth, connected to one humanity, connected within the infinite universe, thus humanity is one. Always connected, yet all will always exist in one form or another. And yet there remains the constant of change. Things, yes, things always change. And yet there remains as well as another constant. For every action, there simply is a reaction. Yet humanity acts in the illusion as if they are separate from the universe, separate from nature, separate from one another. Yet, in reality, both within the esoterics and with the sciences, as in quantum physics, has demonstrated to the contrary. The separation is an illusion that has been passed down from one generation to the next through whatever means, whether through religion, government, cultural, father to son, mother to daughter, grandmother, grandfather, and down the line of generation to generation. It's a plethora of illusionary means, of ideals. We humanity, in fact, are like a human body with many cells working together, connected in many shapes and forms. Do cells within the body act separately? Of course not. In the universe, all elements wave. All elements and wave are in a symbiotic relationship. Not a duality, but a symbiotic one. Do atoms and molecules act separately? Does energy not just convert to one form to another and yet are yet connected? Doesn't the electromagnetic systems interconnect within all forms of energy and matter as well as particle and wave? Still, movement is interconnected in all its aspects, much as within every soul within humanity. And yet, once again, humanity illogically pretends that they are separate from the world, separate from the universe. Whether be it by night or day, humanity continues on the course of separation and fails to understand that they will continue their current path and their past path of cancers like disease with the symptoms of division, fear, and hate. Until they recognize that we are of, by, for, among, within the universe. We must listen and receive it, it being nature and the universe, and not at war with her, while also stifling the speech and thoughts that are consistently and continually being transgressed toward us or within us and communicated to us in whatever shape, form, or means. All ideas and invention and creation comes from her communication. Stifling her will only lead to the aforementioned, the symptoms of the disease, the symptoms of that very cancer of division, fear, and hate. and no band-aids like charities of goodwill or compassionate means or whatever forthcoming thing that people try to do, how very diligently, well indeed, and good-mannered, or, you know, thoughtfulness, and compassion, and empathy, none of these will ever, ever prevail, ever, as long as humanity leads its thought of separation from the universe. Yet, humanity acts as if it's still within their own involvements, meaning by which they are still separate from the universe, separate from the world. And yet many, most, live in a fishbowl, an illusionary fishbowl that only life revolves about themselves. The fishbowl effect is not just an isolated instance within communities or among certain nations, certain peoples, but an international one, a common theme amongst many, many within humanity. And like an abandoned child, humanity simply moves along in its present course of detachment, even at a very high pace of modernization. But things do indeed change. All things change. Many are increasingly becoming aware of this illusion. The separation from the universe, what was indeed created, with an underlying agenda to create division, fear, hate, which would allow humanity to continue to submit a course of manipulation and control. But again, things do change. We are on course for those changing events as moments transpire on this linear time. And Thomas Paine once had said, reason obeys itself. Ignorance submits to whatever is dictated to it. And so it's a matter of choice. And that is the change. Changing the path, changing the journey. As I do on my present journey where I'm about to go to. And everybody's journey on whatever spiritual path they are on. We are all leading to a certain direction. But we all can make choices, and these are the changes. And yet, even within the hourglass of changes which are happening, while prophecies are being fulfilled, and they certainly are, these prophecies are being fulfilled by both choice, the universe as a whole, and co-creation. As some would say, call it some word, a karmic event, a karmic situation. But is this by choice or co-creation or changes within humanity? Or are there other external energies or phenomena involved in these changes? These are just questions, but there are answers. The questions answer their questions. Yet many, and understandably, are caught in their day-to-day events, living in the fishbowl, and understandably so, but still, that's no excuse. Feeling feeling within their fishbowl, separated from one another, as if life goes around amongst themselves. This is the me-ism, the narcissism. Thinking that you are separated from everybody else, thinking that your world revolves around just within your own selves, within your own job, within your own artistry even, within your own speech, within your own dynamics, within your own neighborhood, within your own city, within your own country, within your own region, within your own language. The illusion of separation. It is a perceptual illusion, a magic trick that's been gone for thousands of years, that many of you are becoming aware that this is an illusion. The separation is an illusion. In fact, even if, like I said, sciences are proving the opposite, concurring with the esoterics, But the epitome of this illusion, like I said, is the city itself, separated from reality of the world and the universe. A city is an illusionary concept. It is the biodome. You think you're separated by nature by building walls of concrete, killing off massive amount of earthly beings and grasslands and trees, but you can't push back what is Mother Earth, what is the universe. There's always for every action or reaction. So no matter where you are and what city you live or township you reside, this illusion of separation seems to persist in every aspect. I mean, even in a desert, humanity has created its own facade of disunity of the universe. The epitome of which is, like, for example, Las Vegas, with its massive lights, its streets, its separation. It is the epitome of everything that is against the universe, the wrong, the narcissism, the feed yourself, the illusionary trap of throwing happiness on the end of a carrot stick that you chase after, whether it be some material means, making the good one. It is the epitome of an illusion. Hence so much magic that happens on the strip of Vegas. Every magician knows that. It's an illusionary trick. And it's the illusion of separation. But the reality is, no matter how hard humanity creates such an ill-attempted illusion, reality, like I said, will always come apparent. For every action, there is a reaction. And yet, in spite of the illusion of separation, events in these times of linear time are moving toward a greater change, toward the understanding we are coming into the understanding of a greater of inclusion. This is not just by chance. This is what change. This is for every action, there is a reaction. More and more are becoming aware of this illusionary effect, like I aforementioned. So in these times of linear time, as I had mentioned, as we are moving forward to a greater change for our understanding of inclusion, oneness, some might be calling it prophecy of these times. For many peoples of the past, for many esoterics of the past and present, the veil of illusion is receding, and awareness is becoming a common of all. In one of all of these prophecies, there are two sticks that have been separated for thousands of years. For more than 2,000 years, these two sticks have been separated from generation to generation to generation. They've been separated by now continents. They have been separated assuming that they are the only ones. They are separated from one of arrogance and one of demoralization. But the truths are coming out of where these two sticks and how they are interrelated. These are the times. These are the times for these two sticks to come one. And this is the time. It's an example of the unification of humanity. They will be a sample. There will be those out there who will be in shock. So there will be those who will be welcoming. There will be those who will think it's a trick. There will be many who can't even face the fact of the very fact that this could possibly ever have happened. There would be those who would say, I told you so. And there would be those who would say, hey, we wrote it in our book. Nobody believed us. Of course, they merged it with other phenomenon, other ideals, for their own proselytization of their own ideals. But there are these two houses, these people who are once one, who are divided, these two sticks who are separated. These are the times. These are the ends of the times, but the beginning of all times. And peoples of these sticks, who even they themselves thought separate, now perhaps to open many eyes from this event and many events forward. Things will open up to clandestine that people have always thought was never possible. Some of which of history has been fabricated and manipulated. Some of these will become more apparent. Some of which is been known amongst the esoterics, amongst even dogmas, even amongst one famous prophet himself of the Western world. The prophecies from the East to the West are coming through, not by coincidence, but by cause and effect. There have been many esoterics, from the Nostradamus to the Mayans, the Kabbalists, the Sumerians, the Sumis, I Ching, the Hopi, across from continent to continent to continent, all saying the same things. Why do you think they're saying these same things? Is it a coincidence? And yet, as I journey on a present course, I'm about to embark on a journey to hear from the mouths themselves. Not for things that have been said of them, but what they are of them and who they really are. And yet again, I repeat, there are these two sticks that have been separated from generations and generations. And these houses were once one, and these are the times that will transpire. And these peoples of these two sticks, who even they themselves thought were separate, are now to have their eyes and many open. From these events and events forward, humanity will choose to listen and receive the unity of the universe, with the understanding that we are all, in reality, all one consciousness. There is a people who are called the people of peace. And of course, I'm talking about the people of peace is the name of the Hopi. They themselves have been misinterpreted, misunderstood from generation to generation to generation. Even today, many people take their information, their prophecies, and misinterpret and try to reinterpret it and reinterpret it for their own slant and their own view, like I had said. This has been misconstrued, yet indicative, perhaps, for their own message and understanding to be acknowledged in their true form. And just for the information, the reason why they were called the Hopi, which means people of peace, is because they themselves buried their, as they settled upon their land, buried all their weapons and refused to fight. So their outlying tribes, in particular, they were surrounded, called them the people of peace, the Hopi. And it's very interesting how there is a quite relationship between two peoples, by the way. Interesting enough, you have these people who are completely surrounded by all their enemies, who have been, who were for thousands of years or hundreds of years or whatever amount of time, have always looked upon like with anger and hate toward these people within themselves. I'm talking again, they're completely surrounded by their enemies. Do you know another nation that has that same situation? And people are drunk with their hatred toward the same nation, all their surrounding neighbors, and it's like almost like bled into like a spider within all other areas. Yet these people are all by themselves within this one little spot. Just a teeny little piece of land, too. Amazing. And all the news and how much news comes out from this teeny little place, teeny little population. Of course, I'm talking of Israel, with all its enemies. There is a correlation. But now I'm talking about the Hopis. I don't want to get off tangent here. The question is, the Hopis, where are they from? That is the real question, isn't it? And what is their real message and their understanding? And what is the message and understanding from the elders of all nations? And as I gaze upon the Pacific, I still often wonder, were these the very shores that they came from? Were these the shores they came from when they mentioned they came from the third world to the fourth world? And people always trance on, what is the fifth world? What is the fifth world? They make some mythological, transpondent type of world event or place, putting words in their mouths when it isn't. It's so simple, so plain. They've consistently set up that people will make mountains out of molehills. They're said their fifth world consistently. The two Asavari, the two Wanasavi, the two Wanasavi. You'll hear that word over and over and again. Two Wanasavi, the center of the universe. They mentioned this is the origin, this is where they're from. This is the fifth world. For those, we are at these times. Theophany indeed unfolds as unconditional love. Out of choice becomes a norm. Two peoples will reunite, two cousins, two sticks, two houses will become one. These are the days of days. And now, as I wander on my path and journey, I often wonder. People will question and ask themselves, how can this possibly be? It's counter to what I was told. It's counter to what, you know, what team I belong on. Isn't it amazing how we see everybody divided into sections? You're either a liberal or conservative, Republican, Democrat. Always pegged in a little place, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Jew, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or whatever. Always classifying, bridging, separation. Or consistently being pegged into a little nomenclature. Look what psychologists even do. They've made up their own nomenclature. When how can you possibly take the mind and put it into a finite pattern of names? How can you have a true science of the mind and or of the any sciences? And the fact is, the reality is an infinite space. and things are infinite. So you have to do with an infinite study and infinite analogy of all bases of all things. Yet, it is illogical for these people who call themselves scientists are actually more illusionary into their own illusions of science when, in fact, things are made up of infinite systems, so therefore a method of infinity should be applied. I know I'm getting off tangent here, but it applies to the same thing of all things. What I'm trying to say is everybody consistently looks at things in a very finite aspect, and there is a point of your reflection in what you see. You see yourselves, your physical body. You see next to you perhaps your lover, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your sister, your brother, your friend, your neighbor, a person you don't like for some odd reason. You'll see the chair, the cat, the dog. You see these things as separate from you. Because that's the reflection of light that you see. There's masses of energy flowing within you in that element too. And obviously, you know, a bullet hits you, you would obviously die in what you feel is the physical form. They're just one part. But the spirit never dies. It just like I said, like energy, it doesn't dissipate. It comes back in another form. And everybody has their own interpretation of that. And that energy being your spirit, it's a fact that when one dies, 21 grams disappears. What is that 21 grams? Your soul? And we all have that same 21 grams. Yet, even the connection of our electromagnetic energies and variable energies that are consistently connected to us. Have you ever met somebody and said, I met you once before. Where did I meet you once before? You still look so familiar. Maybe it's from a past life. Maybe it's because something is a connection that you've always had a connection. Maybe it was something destined to be. You know, that this is part of a journey. And like right now, I am about to go upon a journey. And this is part one. Part one. It's funny when I say that. I'm about to head off onto a path to meet elders of the nations, a couple of them, and hopefully we'll be meeting. We're heading to the land of Hopis, meeting with several Hopis, and they will tell me their story. And I'm going this with an open mind and open heart. And what is, is. Don't set no standards or appointments or things. It's what they're meant to be, it will be. And if they have nothing to say, that's what it is. If they have something to say, then that will be it as well. It was what is meant to be. That is the journey without expectations. You know, when you meet somebody that you saw perhaps on stage, and you don't know who they are or what they are, but there's somehow a connection for something without any expectations. Just enjoy the moment and lead to where it heads to. Perhaps it is the very path that you're supposed to. Maybe it is the indicative destiny that you are connected. Probably more is. That's what it is the journey of your path, the destiny. We all, as a humanity, we're all on our journey together. One ship called Mother Earth. Yet we consistently pop holes in Mother Earth into our own environments, thinking that, you know, to sabotage another for our own illusion of power. Think about it. I've had many guests on the past. We talk about extraterrestrials sitting outside looking up on our Earth, or many philosophers and people who talked of esoterics and philosophy and religion, or even artists. And you can imagine if they were sitting outside say extraterrestrials, and I won't even say who, and they're just sitting out, boom, on a ship, and they're observing us as a humanity. How illogical would it seem that they look at us fighting over a piece of land that we think it's ours, or fighting, or even create an illusion of a system of feudal system of monies and power and economics. Even while we have the sciences, for example, to produce free energy, we don't even take it. Instead, we close our eyes to it or allow those to manipulate the system so we don't have it. Because if we did have, of course, free energy, things would certainly be different now, would they? Yet we do have that, electromagnetic energy, anti-gravitational energy, geothermal energy, of course, wind and solar. If you were to put all these systems up without putting the little little registration thing to detail how much they're producing, we can even do it wirelessly, just like Tesla was able to do over more than 100 years ago. People would have free energy. And then therefore, would you have people starving? Food would be free, basically produced, clothing, shelter. So it wouldn't be a standard of division and self-dividing ourselves. But again, this would be the product of where our thoughts are, where we are. If people feel ourselves separated consistently, separated from the universe, separated from nature, and not listening to nature, we continue on the same path. Yet, like I said, there will be many people who will consistently try to make ourselves look like, do charity events, and if all good course, try to help others, whatever form. In fact, I'm one who will try to do whatever I can. But these are like Band-Aids on a bleeding wound. It's like us sticking our finger in the dike, and I'm talking about the dike as in a hole, by the way. For those people who have funny humor. I'm putting the finger on the dike to put out the hole so the water doesn't leak and out pops another leak. Because that's all consistently do. We're just sitting there sticking our fingers in these holes. Because the holes will continue to ripple in the boat until we get sense of ourselves. To our thought, and it all begins with a thought. You know, that's where it's at. So, like I said, I'm about to embark on a journey. Meeting of a peoples. And as I ponder upon this path, I ask my own questions. For these are the times? We are at those times. And I say to you, prophecy is in unfolding. It is unfolding as unconditional love out of both choice and as will become the norm. And two peoples will reunite. This is an example. Two cousins will reunite. Sticks, two houses will become one as become more apparent, and as they return to the center of the universe, the Tuanasavi, the Tzion, the Yushalayim, open the hearts and open your heart. Because when you open your minds and your heart, you will truly hear. Again, as I ponder upon my path and on my journey, one unnamed Hopi elder once had said, "You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in the right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It's time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. And do not look outside yourself for the leader. Then the elder clasped his hands and together and smiled and said, "This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and so swift that there are those who will be much afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are torn apart and will suffer greatly. But know this. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore and push off into the middle of the river while keeping our eyes wide open, our heads above water. And I say, see? See who is there in there with you, and then celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time for the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. And that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for," so said the elder of the Hopi Nation. And with every journey begins with a simple prayer. With every prayer begins with a simple utterance. These are my words, my thoughts. With love begins with just a simple hum of the heart. With the love of humanity and the universe begins with just a thought. And yes, thoughts are things. And these are just my thoughts. Just my thoughts. And again, now I proceed upon my journey. It was not but a pantheon that I enter, but a crossroad of many. That I journey with its waves, I surf adrift to the winds of my destiny. The blur of a simple dream with two souls within their elixir. I fall and I fall and I fall, falling upon my eyes as they close to see the very path of my destiny. I float, I drift, I foresee, time, time, preamble of its existence. It will be what was meant to be. And with that, I want to thank you and God bless you all for listening. And like I said, I close with Drive by Angie Mattson. God bless you all, and have a glorious weekend, and I'll catch you next week. Thank you. Thank you.